previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Okay, so it is August. It is, of course, Women's Month. We know that Women's Day falls on the 9th, but it is Women's Month, and a month where we celebrate and acknowledge women throughout the month of August particularly. We know some complain that it happens 365 days a year, but August is especially set aside to celebrate and to acknowledge women. We know that we commemorate and pay tribute to more than 20,000 women who marched to the Union Buildings on the 9th of August in 1956 in protest, of course, against the extension of past laws to women. But nowadays, we also, thankfully, take a little bit of time to acknowledge and highlight some of the trailblazers, particularly in our country, in South Africa. And one of those that we have chosen to speak to this morning is Dr. Buhle Francis. Now, Dr. Buhle Francis is an environmental scientist, but she's also a scholar activist. She's based right here in Gqeberha. She works for the Center for Integrated Post-School Education and Training, otherwise known as CIPSET, and they're based at the Mission Vale campus of Nelson Mandela University, and she serves there as senior researcher. Dr. Buhle Francis, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Algoa FM Breakfast.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and how are you this morning? And happy Women's Day today to you as I speak to you. I'm honored for you to have me here today.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We're well, and I am equally happy to be chatting to you. Just in terms of your work, it's quite involved, you know, and one tends to, you know, we speak about unsung heroes of the world, and one does tend, you know, if you're not working directly with them, a lot of the time, the fishing community is one of those that does tend to be overlooked often. And, you know, when one looks at career choices and so on, it's not something that one generally thinks of in terms of, you know, focusing research and work on and so on, unless you are particularly interested in the ocean economy or maritime and marine. What was the moment that you realized you wanted to work with women in small-scale fishing communities?
So I've always worked and worked with women. So maybe let me just to talk about my profession as a nurse. Scholar activist and environmental scientist, and my work really sits in the interface of communities and science. And there you look at things like natural resources mainly, which will be the focus of my interview with you this morning. And when they're looking at natural resources, they're looking at the natural resources, be it terrestrial or ocean. Therefore, being located here in the Eastern Cape and along the coastline, surely I found it very rewarding to work with the women who are into fishing, because this is what shapes their day-to-day livelihood. So my location and my proximity being near the ocean, that's what really motivated me. Mm-hmm. And my love for what I do in terms of environment, this is what really led me into this profession.
So Dr. Buhle, you know, my next kind of logical question would be, are you able to fish? Have you ever gone and stood on a rock, thrown a line into the water and pulled out a fish? Or do you normally sit behind the desk and research?
No, I really don't. I wouldn't call myself a fisherwoman. No, I don't. But I have love for the marine species. And I have so much love for the woman that out there fishing. So, which is what really motivated me. What motivated me in this research is that every time when I go out to the fields, maybe to talk about climate change and to do other things, I would meet women who are into fishing. And when looking at marine women, the women that are involved in this kind of work, you are only not looking at women that go to fish. No, there are so many things that they do. Some of them go to the beach to collect mussels. Actually, most of the majority of them. As we know that fishing also, when you look at the norms, I mean, in the traditional, in the households, women would, there are certain norms and cultures which prevent women to actually do certain kind of work. Mm. And this is one of them. So the majority of women really, where I am located, really don't go there to throw the
Well, here's an idea, Dr. Francis. Perhaps for the next excursion or event, instead of us organizing an all-white party or another brunch, maybe you could put a couple of us together to go and have a fishing excursion. I'm certainly first on the list. I'd love to experience something like that. And also meet some of the women that you do work with. I'd love to meet some women in small fishing communities, you know, and chat to them about their stories.
Yes, yeah, that would be amazing. So most of the women that I work with, they are either collecting seaweed. I'm sure you know about seaweed harvesting.
Yes, sea moss. Mm.
Yeah, most of them are collecting mussels. Maybe you have heard, also you have experienced that. So some of them really are cleaning fishing. Like they go and fish and they to see fish, and they clean, and they sell. Some of them really go to the ocean to go and buy fish, and they sell. So yes. This is really the majority of women that I work with and who are really looking after their families through that. And there are many of them along the coastline that are doing that. But so there are so many things that they do, and there's so many support that they do in order to support their husbands.
So in terms of your work, you also focus on inclusivity in ocean-related decision-making and, you know, ultimately, I'm sure, what would impact policy. And we know, obviously, that women are it's a very popular opinion, women are the best decision-makers. Can you give us an example of how involving women from these communities has led to positive changes?
So unfortunately, when it comes to that question, I would refer you to my chapter which I wrote is entitled Grandmothers of the Sea, Stories and Lessons from Five Coastal Ocean Elders. You would really think that's what happens. But when you look at the woman, they're in the forefront of everything. But when it comes to decision making, when it comes to inclusion, they are the most excluded. Their voices are not heard, which really is a motivation for me today to speak to you so that their stories can be heard. The women, the kind of women that I work with, they usually don't get such platforms to speak. They usually don't get consulted. If you read the chapter which I wrote and published last year in 2023, which I co-authored with a colleague called Dylan McGarry, in this book we bring out, we tease out, we interview five other women who I've known and worked with for many, many years, and I bring out their struggles and they tell their stories. So surely if you read that, you will find out that their stories are there, and unfortunately, they're really not consulted when it comes to decision-making.
Listen, you started off, you know, your response by saying, unfortunately, you're going to respond by referring me to a chapter in your book. There is absolutely nothing unfortunate about that. I am now gripped even by the title, and I'd love to get my hands on that book. Grandmothers of the Sea, you say, and stories from five Xhosa fisherwomen?
Grandmothers of the Sea, stories and lessons from five Xhosa ocean elders.
Oh, my soul. That is music to my ears. I've made a note as I'm talking to you. I'm busy writing down. I'm going to get my hands on that book, and I cannot wait to sink my teeth in it. I just absolutely love it. And when you speak about grandmothers of the sea and you speak about, you know, Xhosa elders, ocean elders, automatically I think of maritime indigenous knowledge systems, you know, and that ancient wisdom. So, you know, considering that, I'd love to know whether you've experienced any surprises or unexpected discoveries, rather, that you've made while you've been working with these communities?
There are so many things. I'll take you back to when we were working during COVID, when the women couldn't even go to ocean, when they couldn't do anything. I mean, I think that during that time, it was a time when almost everybody was affected by that drought, when it was, I think it was level 5, when we couldn't do anything. So that was the most difficult moment, because all we could do together with others would communicate over the phone, over the WhatsApp with women. And the struggles which they faced during that time when they couldn't go out there to fend for their families led to other projects which they did. For example, we asked them, what is it that they think would assist them if they were, considering that they couldn't go out to the ocean to do their day-to-day chores that they would have done. So some of the things that they pointed out was, no, we can't fish, but what we can do, we think, if we were to do other kind of household chores like sewing, like this, strengthening our gardening activities, I think we would be able to assist our families.
Yeah.
Then together with others, we went out of our way to look for funding, and we managed to get the sewing machines and provide training when it was possible to do that. And happy to say this group of women is actually doing so well, and they are founding back, and they are continuing to, you know, to grow and to sew and to do other things. I wouldn't want to say diversifying, but they have extended their livelihood to sewing, from ocean to sewing, and that way they're able to stand for themselves.
Mm. Sure. Dr. Francis, listen, I mean, it's just such a pity that this is, in fact, a breakfast show interview, and in fact, not a podcast, because I could talk to you forever. I mean, we haven't even delved into your own personal journey, you know, the significant milestones and turning points in your career, your, you know, accolades beyond your bio that I introduced you with. So we might have to just do another conversation, even if it is just a coffee between you and I, but I would love to continue chatting. We have unfortunately run out of time, but at some point we need to talk about things like, you know, climate and how that impacts these small communities in fishing. We need to talk about collaborations for them and their contribution to the ocean economy and how those policies impact them on some level. But as I say, it is so unfortunate that we have run out of time. It has been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, however. Thank you for taking the time, and thank you for all that you are doing for our local coastal communities that are involved in fishing, and long may your work continue.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you. We have some time to sit and talk.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Buhle Francis, environment scientist, scholar, activist from the Center for Integrated Post-School Education and Training, SIPSET, at Mission Vale Campus and part of Nelson Mandela University.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.